From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum. Viterbo University is celebrating its 125th anniversary this year. Since 1890, the Catholic Liberal Arts School has been educating students in La Crosse. Here today to talk about the school's humble beginnings, religious foundation, and educational future is Viterbo University President Rick Artman. Rick, I'm wondering if you can first take us back to 1890 and tell us about the beginnings of Viterbo, which was not called or considered Viterbo University at that time.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Maureen.
Yes, thank you for being here.
So the sisters came over to the United States from Germany, and we're in Milwaukee for a few years, and were invited by the Bishop of La Crosse to come in and form their religious community here, but also to prepare students future teachers to teach the students in the parochial schools.
So, and were these fellow nuns that they were educating, or were they also
Be sisters within their community.
Okay.
So it was twofold, form their religious community and prepare future teachers for the parochial schools, for the diocese schools. And so the sisters in their transition, as most religious communities do, they're a Franciscan order, so they're followers of St. Francis of Assisi from centuries ago. They chose the patroness, St. Rose of Viterbo, Italy. And actually, today that we're taping is the feast day of St. Rose. So if you were in Viterbo today, you would see many, many celebrations going on in honor of St. Rose. So the university was actually named St. Rose Normal School. And Normal School was the name given in those days to institutions that prepare teachers. So we were named that, and in about 1939, we changed to Viterbo College, and in the year 2000 to Viterbo University. But it was the vision of the sisters who came here and decided to establish a college because they wanted to prepare these teachers, but they also wanted an opportunity for young women to be educated in a Catholic college.
So as much as this is the 125th anniversary celebration of Viterbo University itself, it's also really a celebration of the Franciscan Sisters of Perpetual Adoration.
Absolutely, and I think why we celebrate these benchmarks is to pause and reflect about our history, the past, to give gratitude for those who made the present possible, and then to look to the future about what is our legacy and how do we carry it on. And particularly as the number of sisters decline over the years, it really falls upon the laity to advance the mission and values of the university.
And many of the Franciscan sisters are involved with Viterbo University, but for people who may not be familiar with the work that they do, can you talk about the work that they also do in the community?
Well, they're engaged in many different activities, and they would be better to explain what their mission is. But they have a very strong commitment to women, to social justice, to service to the community. And I think in many ways, Viterbo's outreach to the community over the years has been because of the outreach of the sisters. So how do you serve your community best within a Catholic Franciscan foundation? And a particular element of that is service to those less fortunate, particularly the poor, into issues of justice and countering racism and oppression of those who are less fortunate. And that goes back to Francis's time. Francis believed that you lived the gospel, you preached it by action, and that's been the hallmark and the legacy that the sisters have given us.
So the school that the sisters began back in 1890, as you said, evolved into Viterbo College in 1937. Where did the word Viterbo come from?
Well, St. Rose. So, because she was their patron, and it was, I don't know the process of how they changed the name, but the mythology is the Mother Superior at the time just decided we would change it to Viterbo. And I think in those days, the leadership wasn't quite as democratic as it might be today. So I think one day they said, we're now going to be called Viterbo College. And it's a unique name. There are only three Catholic colleges and universities in the United States named for cities in Italy.
Oh, really?
And Viterbo is one of those.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So once it became a college, what did the school focus on, and how did it evolve from that time once it did become a college?
Certainly, teacher education has been one of those staunch programs, and we have prepared thousands and thousands of outstanding teachers for our secondary and elementary schools, and principals and superintendents as well, which we do a lot more today with licensure programs and those kinds of things. One of the interesting foundations was the nursing program, because Viterbo is probably noted in this region for two programs, our nursing program and our fine arts program. So let me say a little bit about those.
Yeah, of course.
So nursing, the history is that the city fathers came to the sisters in the late 1800s and said that we are seeing a need for a clinic because of the disease and others on the river for the trade and that sort of thing. So the sisters started a clinic. That clinic eventually grew to become St. Francis Hospital, which then was St. Francis Hospital and Skemp Clinic, then Franciscan Skemp, and then Mayo Franciscan, and now Mayo Health System, Franciscan Healthcare. So the sisters started this clinic, and then they were preparing nurses, and so there was the St. Francis School of Nursing for decades. Eventually, in the 40s, the sisters decided that we needed a transition to move the nursing program into the college. And so we celebrated our 40th anniversary as a school of nursing a few years ago. But it was that transition. And we proudly now call those graduates of the St. Francis School of Nursing Viterbo alumni. So nursing became a very prominent part of our curriculum. And as healthcare needs grew in this community and two outstanding institutions, we were proud to be preparing thousands of nurses. About 20,000 nurses have graduated from Viterbo. So it's a great opportunity for us to give back and serve the community.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Today, we're talking about Viterbo University's 125th anniversary with President Rick Artman. And I think next you were going to talk a bit about the foundations of the fine arts program.
Yes. So not uncommon for a Catholic university to have strong fine arts programs because of religious heritage had a lot to do with music and art. And that was the way that culture was transmitted in the early centuries. When people didn't read, they told stories through art and music. So the sisters had a very strong commitment to the fine arts. And an amazing thing happened in the 1970s, late 60s, is they decided that we needed a fine arts center. And there was no money, but the sisters prayed and said, we will build it and they will come, so to speak. And in fact, they did. So most people in the community know of our tremendous fine arts center and the programs that we have there. We will attract close to 100,000 patrons per year through the Fine Arts Center.
I was going to say, beyond the education, I mean, you're bringing in global acts.
Absolutely, both through our Bright Star, Next Star, Arts for Young America, and plus our own theater program and music program. So that's been a very strong hallmark of the Viterbo, and that's connected so closely to the liberal arts and our founders, the sisters who founded Viterbo.
So I learned as I watched this fantastic video that I understand your archivist put together, you can find on Viterbo University's website, that has tons of archival videos, photos of the nuns and different students and staff over the years. But in that video, it talked about how Viterbo really took off in the 40s as far as expansion and buildings goes. And then in the 60s was an interesting time in Viterbo's history because lay faculty were hired. Men were first admitted to the university, or I guess it was college still at the time, which I imagine with those two changes, that brings on a whole set of changes.
It sure did, but it was a reflection of the changing times, and I think that's the one thing we can always give the credit to the sisters for, is they changed with the times to still carry out their mission, but they changed with the times and adapted, and that's what the university has been doing since then. So when men came, and particularly GIs came back to college, there was an interest in business programs and graduate education. So our graduate programs began in earnest. The school of business was established, and now that's a very large part of Viterbo. For example, this year in the MBA program, we have over 100 students in the MBA program. So we're growing in business even while we continue the strong liberal arts foundation.
So Viterbo now has close to 60 majors, 5 master's programs, 1 doctorate program. How is it that in these 125 years that it has grown and expanded that much?
Very strong commitment from the community, a great board of trustees, generous benefactors in the community as well as our alumni, and I think a drive to make sure we honor the sisters' legacy and to carry on the mission. And our mission today is to prepare students for faithful service and ethical leadership, a great fit for what the sisters originally established Viterbo to be. It was a place to prepare young women to serve, and we continue to do that.
And you talked about how there was a community need for nursing and developing nursing students, and the sisters had the Arts Foundation. But when it comes to establishing the business school, the theater department, anything else that Viterbo is now offering, how do you decide, or how did they decide mm-hmm. back in the day that these are the programs that we want to have at Viterbo?
Well, you respond to the community's need. I think that's very important. So, for example, we just 2 years ago, or 3 years ago now, started a master's program in mental health counseling. And that was a direct response to agencies who serve the less fortunate, to say, particularly the less fortunate. We need more addiction counselors. We need more people to work in the social agencies. And so mental health counseling, master's degree, we started it, and it's been maxed out every year that we've had it. So most importantly, it's listening, responding to both what the needs of employers are, how we serve the community, and for both traditional and non-traditional students, where do they see job opportunities, career opportunities, and then we try to blend the strong liberal arts foundation with career opportunities.
So once Viterbo College became Viterbo University in the year 2000,
yes.
Correct? What sort of changes did that bring, and how and why does the institution make that evolution?
Well, I wasn't here at the time. I'm in my ninth year, so I think that the question for many would have been, what's the difference between a college and a university?
Sure.
And I think the nomenclature doesn't change the who you are that much. Most colleges have changed to universities today. But the particular concern, I'm sure, because I went through this when I was president of another university, which was a college, is is it going to change the culture of the university? And in particular, is research going to be more important than teaching? Because the traditional research universities had a mission of primarily research. So it was important to say, no, we continue to be a teaching institution. Teaching is our primary business. At the same time, our faculty are expected to participate in scholarship and advance their craft through research and other scholarship activities. But I think that didn't change. Our reward system for faculty is primarily on the teaching and the small classes. We are moving into online education. We know that the demographics are changing. The number of traditional 18-year-olds going to college, especially in the Midwest, is declining. So, again, trying to adapt. And this year we launched 10 new online programs, for
really?
Example.
Wow. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Today we're talking about Viterbo University's 125th anniversary with President Rick Artman. So one thing that seems unique about Viterbo University, and maybe it's not unique at other Catholic universities, but is the mission of servant leadership. Can you talk about that and why that has remained so important to the school's mission?
It goes back to Francis, and there's an adage that Francis is known to have said, perhaps he did or perhaps he didn't, was preach the gospel, use words when necessary. So again, it's faith in action, and the gospel life compels us to be in service and to live the gospel through the respect and dignity that we give to each other. So that remains constant. And servant leadership has religious foundations if one reads the servant leadership literature. And it's really about that dignity and respect, and we serve first. So who will be first should first be service to others. And it has a large part of humility in service. And we are so proud of our servant leadership program. We have the only master's degree program in the country on servant leadership. And when we have our servant leadership conversations in La Crosse, we are attracting leaders from throughout the region to come. Certainly listening to Tom Thibodeau is an experience in itself, and Tom is a great ambassador for servant leadership and for Viterbo. But it's been consistent. It's consistent with our mission, and it's consistent with our founding, that that we lead, but we lead because of it's service-oriented.
And in 1999, the D.B. Reinhardt Institute for Ethics and Leadership was established. Why was it, I know that was before your time, but why was that program created?
Again, visionary ideas from the president at the time, Bill Medlin, and also the Reinhardt family and some others who felt that the future of business and leadership in a community has to have a foundation in ethics. And so to establish the Institute, there needed to be support, financial support for it, and the Reinhard family endowed a large part of the Institute. And today, it probably far exceeds what those founders' expectations would be. The lecture series that we have, the Holocaust series that we have, the speakers that we bring in for the community. And I'm going to put a plug in for,
yeah, for the upcoming speaker.
Upcoming speaker on next Tuesday, September the 9th, is Captain Richard Phillips, who was portrayed by Tom Hanks in the movie Captain Phillips. So I encourage the community to come out and listen to Captain Phillips' testimony about that experience. And he has a wonderful book, which I've read.
Because he was the captain of a ship, and Somali pirates took over that ship.
Correct. And in his journey really is one of faith and leadership. And I think our audience will enjoy a great talk and an opportunity to meet him. His book will be available, and he will be signing books as well.
And do you think a program like the Institute for Ethics and Leadership, is it unique? And do you think that it has an impact on this community?
I think the uniqueness of our program, and there are institutes at many universities, mm-hmm. is it's focused on servant leadership and ethics and leadership in service to the community. We do some research. We have research fellows who take on research projects, and we do a little bit of publication, but that's not been the primary focus. The primary focus has been to apply ethics and help our business and religious and healthcare community leaders understand how to apply ethics in the day-to-day, in their day-to-day lives and in their day-to-day organizations.
And one way that I understand students, faculty, staff, and alumni are applying those leadership skills is this year, to celebrate the anniversary, Viterbo has a goal of generating 125,000 hours of service within the community, which is a pretty lofty goal.
It is, but we're confident we can reach it with the help of all of our students, faculty, staff, and especially our alumni. So alumni who are listening, we invite you to, when you're involved with a community board or a service project, just to go on the website and click in, and you can add your service hours, and there'll be a running clock timer that will, so to speak, keep adding up all these service hours. So we feel by June 30th, 2015, we will have the 125,000 hours of service.
And is this essentially any type of volunteer work?
Yes, any type of. We're not gonna try to police the hours and do an audit of them. But we know we have ethical alumni and faculty and staff, and they'll. Our students do tremendous amounts of student service, service work in the community. We have a course. Part of the mission seminars is based on service, and so as part of the course, they're out in the community. Every athletic team does community service. So there's so much going on, but we don't always chronicle it. So this is an attempt to chronicle it. We're also going to collect 12,500 pounds of food for the local food banks, and those bins will be put up on the campus and collected all year.
So will these efforts make a difference within the community? Or what sort of difference would it make?
Well, we're not looking for headlines. We're looking for impact. And so I think the difference is made daily by the hours that the people put in and the way they contribute back to their community, whether it's on a board or a service day or a community cleanup or those kinds of things.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Today, we're talking about Viterbo University's 125th anniversary with President Rick Artman. So I know there are a handful of celebrations planned this year. I'm wondering if you want to maybe mention some of them.
I would like to mention that, and this goes back to our founders, that as part of our 125th celebration, the sisters made a very generous gift to renovate our chapel, the San Damiano Chapel. San Damiano is the name of the chapel in Italy, where Francis was praying, heard the voice of the cross say, "Francis, rebuild my church, for it is in ruin," in which he tried to do rebuilding brick by brick and finally realized the message was rebuild the church in the hearts and minds of the people. And so sisters made a really generous gift. So we completely renovated that. And this is also the year of the 100th anniversary of the parish church, St. Wenceslas. So we will have a special dedication for those parishioners who were members of St. Wenceslas. But it's a beautiful, newly renovated. The theme was noble simplicity, and I invite Catholics and non-Catholics alike to come by and take a look at the chapel. It's gorgeous.
So when you look at Viterbo's future, how much more can it grow, and are you looking to grow?
We think we can grow, and if you're not growing, you're standing still, and nobody stands still and survives today. no matter what kind of organization you are. So, yes, we hope to grow, but it will grow in pockets where there's a need. We see great opportunity in healthcare because La Crosse economy is so focused on the healthcare industry and collateral organizations and agencies. So we think there's a great opportunity to grow in with more programs geared to the healthcare. And I think online is going to be in a big growth area for us. But our challenge there is to make sure that it's that we're different from any online for-profit institution, for example. So how do we inculcate the values during that curriculum and during the online experience? How do we make it a personal exchange between an online faculty member and the student? And maybe there's more hybrid where it's face-to-face beginning at the end and online in the middle. But we see that as a necessary growth area. We are a little hemmed in by the borders of our campus.
Like most places in La Crosse.
Right. We've added more residence halls, and we still have a little bit of space to do that. But for the most part, we will grow, but we won't change who we are.
Do you feel like Viterbo's current mission is reflective of its original foundations?
I certainly do, and I think the sisters keep a steady rudder with us. We have a very strong relationship with the community and its leaders, and so there's constant dialogue about how are we staying current to serve the needs, but also being faithful to that legacy.
And I guess it's probably safe to assume that the Franciscan sisters still have a very strong relationship and role to play within Viterbo University.
They certainly do. I mean, corporately, we have a governance structure that includes the sisters, but it's far more than that. It's the prayerful support. You know, I think our community knows the sisters have been praying 24/7 for, I think this is the 137th year.
Sure.
For 24/7, they're praying for our needs as well as the needs of the world. And so we're in constant dialogue and back and forth to make sure we have an annual assessment of how we're doing in terms of our faithfulness to the legacy of the sisters.
You mentioned the celebrations at the religious celebrations. Are there any other celebrations that you're looking forward to in this upcoming year?
We have a great speaker coming in. Dr. Carolyn Wu will be here in November, and she's the president of the Catholic Relief Services International, one of the 100 most influential women in the world by one survey. And we will have a very big gala celebration of the arts in March.
I also saw that this was interesting to me, that the show choir is performing 12 decades of songs in October, which seems like that would be a lot of fun.
It will be, and Nancy Allen does a great job, and we've got such great talent. You know, we opened the Weber Center in collaboration with the La Crosse Community Theater a year ago, and this year down at the Weber Center, we're going to be producing West Side Story.
Oh, wow.
So I think that will be a big hit for our community as well.
Rick, is there anything else you want to talk about or any other things that stick out as you reflect on the history of Viterbo, its place in the community, and where it's going in the future?
I think the most important thing I can share with your audience is Viterbo is here to serve the community, and I hope we're viewed as good partners and collaborators. The Mathey Center is a good example of that. The Weber Center for the Performing Arts. And this year we collaborated with the city for a community policing effort with the Mayo Clinic Health System in Viterbo and in the city of La Crosse. So we have two community police officers, and they're making a huge difference in our neighborhood. So we want to continue that partnership. Resources are limited, and so we have to share. We have to be partnering, and I pledge to our community that we will listen and we will try to serve the best we can.
Well, Rick, thank you so much for your time and congratulations on the anniversary. Yeah.
Thank you, Maureen.
President Rick Artman is the president of Viterbo University. We're talking about Viterbo's 125th anniversary. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCollum. Our production team includes John Gatto, Mary Mian Strube, and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site also has archives of other recent editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make a suggestion for a future show, you'll also find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. For updates on future shows, photos, and links to our archives, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.